live is always going to be great. Human connection is the only thing that will differentiate AI from people and from artists. And that is, I think, going to be the key lever that artists have left. So in the same way as you might go and buy a handmade coffee cup for $20 from an artisan stall, when you can buy one for a dollar in Walmart, music will still hold great value.
Welcome to Audio Branding, the hidden gem of marketing. Sound plays a more important role in human behavior and our decision-making than you may realize. In this podcast, I'll help you understand the art and science of sound so you can better influence others in business and your life. I'm your host, Jody Krangle. Let's delve a little deeper. Here's the second part of my conversation with David Courtier Dutton.
So were there any brands in your study that particularly surprised you as to where they ended up in your study?
I'm not sure that this is, I don't like talking about negatives, but there were some industries.
I'm hoping this is more a positive than a negative.
There were some industries that really are kind of personality vacuums. And so that's mm-hmm. banking. Insurance.
Yes.
And basically,
insurance, though, the one thing that I've noticed about insurance, and maybe you have too, is that the more boring the industry, the more outlandish their ads are.
100%. And that's why insurers do it. And they do it across the US. They do it across the UK. They
create
the
characters.
Best. Exactly. Characters. Yeah. Because they don't have one themselves.
I guess so.
They create
personalities
because they realize that they are I can't remember in a blog I wrote a while ago, I called them mother-in-law brands. You have a relationship with them because you have to, not because you want to. So insurance is a
perfect
example.
Yeah, it's the same
example.
For banks. You're right about that too.
Exactly. So you're absolutely right. They have to create a personality, and they do that through a character, or they do it through outlandish branding. And it works very well. But if we look at two in particular, so if we look at credit cards, so Visa and MasterCard, Visa renewed its Sony branding, I think, about 3 or 4 years ago. MasterCard famously did it probably, 8 or 9 years ago. Now I don't know the exact mm-hmm. date. And they put a huge amount of strategy and thought and money and effort into creating a personality with their Sonic logo. But we found in the report that while I think MasterCard had about 20% claimed attribution and Visa had about 31%, I think, claimed attribution, actual attribution was zero. No one could name the brand. Now, it's only
really?
A sample of 200 for each.
So this is after listening to their Sonic branding.
Listening to their Sonic logo in isolation with no brand association, 20% and 31% respectively said, yeah, we know the brand, but not one person out of those 400 across the two brands could actually write the brand name when asked what the actual brand was. Now, I don't blame Visa or MasterCard for being bad at branding. I think that is, it's just an indication of the size of the mountain they have to climb as an inverted commas boring financial services company trying to create some sort of personality with consumers. So for me, I was really surprised because MasterCard is iconic. I mean, we all know it. Anyone in Sonic branding knows it. They work really hard, and I take my hat off to the way they strategically weaved it through everything, right from, you know, creating independent albums with different artists and playing it at the Super Bowl and getting it in independent artist releases and then playing it at checkout when you check out with your MasterCard, some of the terminals play the logo, but just hasn't cut through. And it may just be that it won't ever for Visa or MasterCard or a financial services brand. While on the one hand, it's both admirable and probably advisable to try and create a sonic brand. The reality is, just doesn't kind of work in that industry.
That's really interesting. Yeah. And I know that MasterCard did make such a huge effort to get their audio brand out there. But, you know, I think this is going to sound weird, and maybe I shouldn't be saying this on a show like this, but I think it's a problem of the sounding different from everyone else. I don't think it sounds different enough. I mean, it has a tune, and I get that, but it's just a tune. Like, there's nothing else to it that I can really attribute to the specific personality of MasterCard. Do you know what I mean? Like,
Exactly. But also, when I think of MasterCard or Visa or American Express or whatever, I think trustworthy, boring, reliable, dull, conservative. Apart from trustworthy, no brand wants to be seen as any of those things, but that's what they are. So it's very hard to come up with a distinctive, like, they could come out with something outlandish that would be distinctive, but it would be so far removed from the brand personality that it would break a cardinal rule of branding. So they're kind of stuck because their brand attributes are not ones that translate well to music. And if you do translate into music, it's not very interesting.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. I think, like you were saying, these brands that, we conceive of as boring, they have to work doubly hard to make sure that they're memorable.
Yeah.
I mean, not even exciting.
Yeah. And don't get me wrong, they're incredible. They're amazing brands, but unfortunately, they're not exciting or engaging.
That's the tough part. I know TD just redid their branding, their audio branding as well through Cesium Song. So they just did something that they're doing all over Canada, and I'm hearing their sonic logo all over the place now. And I'm hearing it at their machines, which is actually really interesting too.
Okay.
So, and I remember it. Like, I'm actually starting to remember it, because they have some really fun advertising that basically has someone sitting in a big green chair watching things go by, like they're an observer, it's interesting. They're doing some
quirky,
good things. So I think it's, quirky. Yeah. And I think you can get away with that with like a bank or a Visa or a MasterCard. I think you can be quirky and still be reliable and, staple of this certain industry. I think you can still do that. But yeah, it's tricky. Like you said, I don't know if maybe they need to break some brand rules.
Well,
I mean, maybe that just needs to happen.
What you just said is interesting, because I don't know TD's brand well at all, but if the brand, and as I said earlier, Sonic never leads, always follows in branding. So if the TD brand itself is quirky and that is their brand strategy, that's fine. You can go in with a sonic that reflects that. But if you're sitting
I don't think they were always.
Okay.
They weren't always. It stands for Toronto Dominion.
Okay.
And TD is actually, Toronto Dominion is all over Canada, but TD Bank is also in the US.
Right.
So now it's being rolled out. But I think what they were trying to do in the visual logo was that they were presenting things as this green chair, because their logo is green, is a comforting place to be, and you can rely on, you're welcome into our bank and you can sit in this green chair and be comfortable, basically.
Okay.
The kind of idea, right?
Yeah.
So now they've followed through with all of that in their branding and their ads and such like that with the visuals on the screen, but they're also following through with an audio logo that sounds comforting and friendly and slightly quirky.
Yeah.
So I think it like you said, probably it doesn't lead.
Mm-hmm.
The audio doesn't lead, but it can more closely define what the brand is
100%,
by adding that little twist on it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, just give it a little bit of fun. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I'm sure so that the, for a lot of we've worked on a few banks worldwide, and unfortunately, most of them, the brands are very staid because they can't be come across as unreliable or sort of flirty or fun or whatever, because it's a serious thing, money. And they want you to give them their money, your money, and to do that, you risk a lot by not being that sensible uncle who is giving you good advice.
Very true, I guess. Yeah. So you mentioned in your study that Maybelline and Pillsbury are doing really well.
Yep.
And that's Made Music, right?
Made Music to both of those.
John Tate has actually been on this podcast.
Oh, okay.
So we had a discussion about some of this stuff, not Maybelline or Pillsbury specifically, but they've done a lot of really good stuff. So it's fun to hear and good to hear that they're doing well with what they're putting out there.
Well, I think, both Maybelline and Pillsbury are sort of historic logos that were retired for a long time, and you just cannot underestimate the power of bringing back an old
nostalgic
Love Sonic logo
stuff.
Updating it, and it's I don't know, I'd say it's an easy win, but it is, because those neural pathways are absolutely locked in. I mean, we did in the UK. It's funny, I think I've told the story before to people in America and they look at me blankly, but we have a brand called Branston Pickle, which is pickle that goes on cheese sandwiches effectively, that had iconic advertising back in the 70s and 80s with the tagline, bring out the Branston, with a ba 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 ba, and really impactful, and everyone loved it and everyone could sing it, and whenever it was taken out of the cupboard all over the UK, in households, people would say, bring out the Branston, rather than pass the tomato sauce or whatever. So it became and we worked on that a year or two ago, and they brought that back very successfully. There's another one in the UK called Direct Line, which is a red telephone insurance business. Again, they killed that off 15, 20 years ago, and they've just brought that back. And again, hugely successful. Everyone loves the red telephone bouncy across the desk with the Direct Line logo, and there are a couple of others we worked on as well, but it's if you've got one down the back of the sofa that got traction when there were only three TV stations and only a handful of radio stations, then everyone of that era will know, because you couldn't avoid it. We didn't have the internet, we didn't have anything apart from three TV channels and some radio stations. So anyone with a jingle, it became embedded in the national psyche.
Are you enjoying this podcast? If so, it would really help me out if you'd give it a review. The best place to do that in written format is at the bottom of the audiobrandingpodcast.com page. And if you want to do that in voice format, there's a link in the ending paragraph at the top of that same page. I would so appreciate that. It helps me to know what you'd like to hear more of and why you're listening in the first place. As podcasters, we rarely know who's actually listening, so it helps me to know that I'm not just speaking into the void. Thanks for that. And now, back to the show.
And jingles are so powerful that way, too. I mean, certainly Maybelline and Pillsbury, like, I'm familiar with a lot of them, too.
Exactly.
But, I mean, I want to kind of bring up the elephant in the room, and that is AI, because we all talk about AI at this point. How do you think that's going to transform Sonic branding at this point? Or will it?
It will. I mean, I think it's useful to stretch beyond just Sonic logos and think about the use of music and advertising, marketing. Up until about 6 months ago, we were seeing very little of it. There are some obvious concerns around legalities, and with Suno and Udio being still sued at the moment on the basis that they've trained their music creation models on copyrighted content, whether that amounts to fair use or not fair use, that overhangs it. So brands won't want to use music created by AI in case it is actually breaching copyright. That will get sorted in the next 6 months or so, I think. I think there will be a settlement, and it will be a traditional music industry settlement whereby they take a shedload of money, VC money, off Suno and Udio. They are handed a chunk of equity, and they spin it just like they spun Spotify and Dapster, and every iteration before music industry will get their sticky fingers deep into the pot.
And the artists pay the price.
Yeah, and
of
the
course.
Artists pay the price. But to answer your question, AI music is going to be endemic across music advertising. Brands, whatever they say, and I don't think they even say it, brands couldn't care about the music, the artist. They only care about cost and effectiveness. And if they can get a song that's just as effective for next to nothing, rather than pay an artist $20,000 for usage in a campaign, why wouldn't they? I mean, it may be cynical, but unfortunately it's true. It's going to be catastrophic for artists worldwide. So a large chunk of commercial music income into the industry is going to disappear, and we're now seeing it. We're now getting projects where we're testing, mainly on long form music at the moment, where we're testing AI music for brands, for campaigns. Not a lot, but it's coming. The other thing, of course, that's happening is the capability of AI is doubling every 5.7 months at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So it is exponential. It means in 2 years, it'll be 10 times more powerful. The quality of the music coming out of Suno and Udio now and the others is phenomenal. And we're getting to the point now where you can automatically create music in sync to an advert or a movie or whatever, with emotional matching of where the music moves with in terms of the vocals, have any vocals, reinforcing the story arc, etc. So no more searching through 10,000 tracks to get a song where the lyrics are reinforcing the storyline of the campaign. You know, you'll just create the perfect song, the perfect lyrics. And as I say, it's sad. It's a death of creativity on many levels. But it's happening. Yes, it's happening in music. My God, it's happening if you're a software programmer. If you do any knowledge work in front of a computer, you are going to be impacted, or a large percentage of people are going to be acted. And then you look at the new model from OpenAI, ChatGPT, Sora 2. I don't know if you play with it in the US, but this is text to video.
Actually in Canada, okay. Just so you know.
I think you can get Sora 2 in Canada.
Came out
about a month, 5 weeks ago. Absolutely mind-blowing. Text to video of cinematic quality. You could put any character in there, yourself, imaginary character, any film star, currently generating 15 seconds. By this time next year, it will be whole movies. With sound, with audio, and it'll write the script. When you talk about movies on demand, this will really be an individual movie on demand made for you to your brief. So
is there anything that creatives can do to combat this or to remain relevant?
I think they always will be relevant. So obviously live is always going to be great. Human connection is the only thing that will differentiate AI from people and from artists, and that is, I think, going to be the key lever that artists have left. So in the same way as you might go and buy a handmade coffee cup for $20 from an artisan stall, when you can buy one for a dollar in Walmart, music will still hold great value. I think the ability of artists to break through and make a living out of it is going to get a lot harder. But I always think of music, in fact, any art, as a as a sort of parallel process where there's the enjoyment in the creation and there's the enjoyment in the consumption. And maybe consumption will go down a lot. But so long as there is that personal connection with the artist, then there will still be a career, but it's going to be smaller. And as soon as the music industry get their clammy hands into the money pot of AI music creation, if that's where the money's going to be made, that's where the industry will go.
Yeah, yeah, I can see what you mean. And yeah, I saw the whole Napster thing go down, so I am very aware of how that can happen.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
Yeah, yeah, it's tough. But, you know, I'd rather end this discussion on an up note.
Yep.
And ask you why you think it's important for marketers to consider audio branding at this point.
Oh, the response is probably why.
We kind of discussed the whole deal here, yeah. But yeah.
Why wouldn't they?
To encapsulate.
So, yeah. So I suppose a couple of approaches there. Number one, I can't believe they... Well, I can believe, of course I can believe, but I'm amazed that more marketers don't understand the value of music, even though intuitively they must, because they all listen to music and they know how it is mood changing and how powerful.
Well, sound in general.
Yeah, exactly.
Not just music.
So why wouldn't you, I mean, they all use it in advertising as well, but why wouldn't you use it to actually build the brand? And I think the answer to that is, as I touched on earlier, that there's this massive tension between branding and marketing. Brand is about long-term value creation and brand equity and the ability to charge more than your competitor for your product because your brand is perceived to be better. Marketing is about selling more stuff. And marketing is measured in weeks and sometimes months in terms of campaigns. Branding is measured in years. And marketeers' most creative content is created by agencies who are more interested in getting a gong at Cannes and more, and rightly so, and more obsessed with complete creative control and choosing the right music for their beautiful marketing creation. And so the branding side doesn't get nearly close enough to the marketing side to do that. But I've almost forgotten the question, actually, but you know, is it going to be more important in the future?
Yeah.
Yes, I think it is. And I think this is all tight. And this isn't a trend. I think this is the ground shift that AI is going to cause. When you look at what is happening to search and shopping and everything that AI is going to bring in, i.e., you won't go to a store or look online and see a brand you recognize, your AI will do that for you. Not this year, it's beginning, but in 2 or 3 years, you will just say, you know, we need some flour and we need some sugar and we need some whatever. Can you just go and sort it? And it will go out and it will look at the ingredients and it will work out that the branded one is identical to the non-branded one and it's cheaper in this store rather than that store. And you've got next day delivery here. And all things considered, it will just go and order it. The brand will go nowhere near the consumer. And therefore, anything you can do to make your brand more distinctive when you are advertising online and music, anything to make a brand more prominent can only help. I'm not saying everything will go that way with AI, but when the consumer does get to choose a brand, then being top of mind, being the most salient, is going to be even more important than it is today.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
music
I get
can
it.
Only help that.
Hello, I'm Connor Moore with Seymour Sound, and you're listening to the Audio Branding Podcast. This is a great place to learn about how powerful sound can be for your brand. If you want to understand how to harness that power, keep listening.
ChatGPT is changing search by the minute.
Yes. Yeah, they came out with a new search engine 48 hours ago. So,
pretty interesting.
Yeah. We don't have it here yet, but as soon as we do, I'll be trying it out. But but Google will respond. Gemini.
They'll make their own AI.
And they'll have their own new search that will get an open AI within 3 months, I think.
Yeah. How long will it be, do you think, between, you know, before computers are just basically talking to other computers? maybe it's already happening.
So we're basically talking agents talking to agents. So AI agents talking to AI agents very soon. Very soon. I mean, it's already happening on one level. I think to answer your question, I would imagine within 12 months, it'll become quite a big thing. And within 3 years, it'll be everywhere.
Wow. Okay. Well, we're on the cusp of big things here, I guess. Hopefully audio will still hit our human ears and be interesting.
it will. And the other thing about audio is because it is so inextricably linked with emotion, AI doesn't do emotion. It can feign emotion or whatever, but you'll never move an AI with a song because it doesn't do emotion. And it literally never will until they become sentient, which may happen, but we'll leave that aside for this point.
That's another question entirely.
Emotion is all we have as humans to distinguish ourselves and empathy and whatever from us and machines. And so music will survive forever.
We want to reach each other emotionally, and that's the way to do it. Even voice acting. I mean, like, there's a certain amount of human emotion and lived experience that goes on behind the voiceover that I provide for clients. So, the simulation could be there of an AI. It sounds pretty good. I'm not saying it's not sounding good. It is really scarily so.
Yeah.
But there's no, it's simulating human. It's not an actual human. So it can't turn on a dime emotionally. It can't, you know, and if they spend 3-4 hours programming this thing to sound okay, when you could pay a voice actor for 10 minutes of their time and they could get it for you in
a couple of takes. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, so it's right now that's the case. I don't know how long that's going to be. I guess we'll wait and see.
Exactly. No, it's all changed. We're living through astonishing times, and 99% of people don't quite understand what's about to hit,
hopefully it'll still all come out good for us in the end.
exactly.
I still have hope that humanity will survive. So this has been a really great conversation, David, and I thank you so much for joining me. How can people reach out to you if they'd like to do that?
Email's the best. David@soundout.com. That's the easiest way. We're always quick on the response here.
Okay. And your study is available on the Soundout website?
Yep. www.soundout.com. Not only the 25 study, but a whole host of other research, academic stuff, and loads of stuff. If you want to bore yourself stupid with sonic branding,
we're the place to come.
And there's also actually probably the most popular thing we ever put out was it's not called The Idiot's Guide to Sonic Branding, but it's a handbook. It's basically a handbook for brands about how to go about sonic branding. It tells you how much it's going to cost, who to use, pitfalls to avoid. So it's a sort of handbook to take you through a process that you might not have been through before.
Wonderful. Well, thanks for sharing that. And thank you for sharing your expertise. This has been a great conversation. I really appreciate it.
No problem. It's been a pleasure. Thank you, Jodie.
Thanks.
Well, that's the end of this episode. Thanks for listening. And if you like what you heard, why not tell a friend about this podcast? It's available in all the usual locations. Until next time,